Jays down in Tampa tonight. Robbie Ray back on the mound. The Jays took 2 of 3 against the Twins. They're a game back of the Sox, a game and a half back up on the Yankees, 2 up on Oakland. And we're joined now by a longtime MLB pitcher. He works out there in Cali. He covers the Oakland Athletics. He knows them as well as anybody. Here's our good buddy Dallas Braden joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's happening, Dallas?
Not much, boys. How are we doing up there?
We're feeling very good, as I'm sure you can imagine. Feeling very good. The Jays taking 2 of 3 over the weekend, and they've got a little bit of breathing room with 13 games left on the Yankees and a little bit more breathing room on Oakland. At this point, you know, it seems to change every 24 hours, but do you feel good about Boston and Toronto as the pace cars here? And would you say they're clear favorites to hold on to those two spots?
Well, I tell you, we were having the conversation, just kicking the tires on this very scenario on a broadcast the other day. And I think my partner and I both agreed that the Yankees, out of those three teams that set ahead of the Oakland A's at this point in time, were the one team that we felt who were at that moment in the wild card spot in that second hole that would eventually end up sliding. And what I talked about and what I fear is the Toronto Blue Jays getting some help from their friends, meaning Robbie Ray is going to get some help from his friends in that rotation. The offense is going to get some help from their friends in that rotation. What I'm getting at is that starting rotation for the Toronto Blue Jays is where my central focus is when I start to think about what the Toronto Blue Jays represent by means of a team that's going to hold on to this second spot, team that could potentially relinquish this second spot, is what are they going to do outside of a Robbie Ray start? Because Berríos, Manoa, outstanding. I jokingly said this on the podcast today, heck of a time for Ryu to decide to be a pain in the neck.
Oh.
This is not what you wanted to have happen.
Like, he's been terrible, and he claims neck stiffness. Is that legit where he's like, that's why I've been terrible? Or is this a reset opportunity where it's like he's just got to get his you-know-what together?
Well, it could be a combination of the two. And I'll tell you, there's a little bit of a hand-up kind of moment that you have to have if you've been barking a little, things aren't feeling well, and you've been trying to muscle through that. You have to at some point in time say, look, I'm doing more harm than good. I'm doing a disservice to the squad. We got to make a move here. We got to make a decision. So now maybe you're a little more vocal about it. But to your point, it could be just as much on the other side of things, the staff saying, you know what, things haven't been great. Let's see if we can get them a blow here. Let's give them just a breath. See if we can match some things up with our rotation, maybe a bullpen day or so, and then have this lefty kind of rebound, recharged, and ready for this little stretch here. And maybe the next two starts or so he's going to make are going to be big ones. Or maybe it's just one more. Who knows? But there's always a thought to trying to give your guy as much time as he can to get his feet underneath him and get him right if he's kind of stumbled, which has been the case for the lefty Ryu.
Yeah, he's really struggled his last two outings, which at this point, every game is a big game. Every start is a big start. And, you know, we're talking Baltimore last weekend. He got blown up in Minnesota this weekend. It's not exactly, you know, the Dodgers and then taking on the Astros, you know, in back-to-back starts. These are games that he should be able to control, and he could barely get out of the second inning. And I believe he sets up for three more starts, Hyunjin Ryu, including as of now, if they play out the rotation, you know, in a conventional way, the last start of the season at home on a Sunday against Baltimore. But it's nitpicking at this point, Dallas. You know, like, the Jays are so hot. They're so good. Defensively, they've been way better. It's like the one thing people are attaching themselves to that is negative is Hyunjin Ryu because he's been so poor lately.
Well, and I don't want to say it's fair, but you're thinking about what are going to be reasons why the Jays don't hold on. That's where I think the fan base's mindset is, which you got to understand, is they're watching this offense just absolutely massacre the baseball. And they want to know that that's not going to be in vain. They want to know that when they've seen these comebacks, they've seen these perseverance games, that, you know what, it's great to be able to win games in that fashion. You hate to have to rely on those kinds of outbursts in order to solidify your playoff life. So anytime you have question marks in your starting rotation, we're talking about, well, how are we going to get this game going? And the one thing I'll say, you got to like where you're at in the schedule, what that looks like. I mean, right now, as it sets, I believe you've got four against the Rays. That's the most competitive four baseball games you could potentially be playing for the remainder of the season. Now, sure, I think there's three left with New York.
Yep.
But on the other side of that Yankee sandwich, you've got four with Minnesota, and as you just pointed out, three with the Orioles, who would really love to win 50 baseball games this year. So that's where you're at schedule-wise. That's what the future looks like. So it's almost like, look, if we're in the second spot right now and we've got guys starting to fall in that rotation, but our offense has done what it's done and the schedule looks like what it looks like, we're excited, but there could very well be a series in there where we just kind of get slapped across the face, didn't see it coming, and now we don't have enough time to make it up.
Chatting with Dallas Braden, former MLB pitcher, NBCS California analyst. Jay's back in action down at Tampa tonight. Is there a more terrifying hitter in baseball today than Vladdy Guerrero Jr.?
Not right now. Not right now. Not when you are starting to make, and I've been making these comparisons to a Miguel Cabrera, and I'm talking about approach. When you have a guy that has the tools and the ability to power the baseball out of the yard to all fields like Vlad does, when you start watching this dude at his ripe age start to spray the ball and cut the swing down, runners in scoring position, sure, he understands that, you know what, three-run homer, pretty sexy. Three looks a heck of a lot better on that scoreboard than one, or maybe even two. But if I've got guys on second and third here, one out, nobody out, I got to have a productive out here. And he's not thinking about being an out. He's thinking about the best way for him to get on base. And if that's taking a pitch down and away, shooting it through the hole early in the count, then that's what he'll do. If you are scared to come in the strike zone and that early count now comes into a, I don't know, 3-0, 3-1, well, you better put it on the black, because Vlad Cakes is waiting for you. And he hasn't missed all season long.
No.
He hasn't missed. So there's nobody right now that you fear more in the batter's box with a bat in his hand than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That's your Hank Aaron Award winner. Book it. No, like, there's just not even a conversation to be had about that. Thanks for coming.
So stacking up against Otani, does that mean somebody not being from Toronto, you're taking Vlad? Or how do you see that stacking up? I haven't talked to you all summer, so how do you see it stacking up, Dallas?
Yeah, well, this is where I really hope people understand. And look, this is great, because the MVP conversation for so long has been about what that V means. Interpret the V. How valuable is that player? What do you define as value? Is it overall production of a certain player? Or is it the production of a player and the impact that it has on his team and their potential to be a playoff team, mm-hmm. right? Those are really the two camps that exist amongst MVP voters. So whatever you've heard in the past about why somebody votes for this person or that person or whatever, they've been able to hide behind a combination of overall production of the player and whether or not that player's team is postseason bound. Well, guess what? This year, boys and girls, that all goes right out the window. Every last bit of it. Why? Because if you are voting for Shohei Ohtani, you are clearly raising your hand and saying, I am addressing the overall production of a player and their season. How valuable and productive have they been as a baseball player in totality? That's the Shohei Ohtani camp. The other camp is the camp that says, well, if they're not going to the postseason, how valuable can they be? I care about what that team is doing, and I care about what role that player has on that team that is potentially headed to the postseason, right? There's no other two ways to look at that with Shohei Ohtani in the conversation and Vlad Guerrero Jr. in the conversation. This is a perfect storm. If you've ever had questions about who is voting and what they're looking at, the end result of this award season will let you know exactly what camp the MVP voters are in, because you've got Otani, who's going on vacation in October, and you've got Vlad Guerrero, who's looking to go to the postseason in October. And I don't think there's an argument to be had on who has had the best overall baseball season between Shohei Ohtani and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And I don't think there's a conversation to be had about who's had the best offensive season as a baseball player between Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Shohei Ohtani.
With Dallas Braden, the Yankees are now at home against Texas for three that they pretty much have got to get. And then they're at Boston for three, at Toronto for three. Gerrit Cole gets booed off the mound yesterday. The Bronx not happy with him, not happy with the Yankees in general. And that's going to be the stretch run. I mean, the way it sets up, unless he goes on short rest, he's probably only got two more starts. And, you know, we were saying earlier this hour, Robbie Ray's the pace card now for me with the Cy Young, and I think it's legit. You know, I don't think that's a bias. Oh, yeah. I don't think that's, you know, the Toronto guy yelling and screaming. You look at his stats, you look at his performances, and what Cole did yesterday, that's probably going to stick in terms of narratives, in terms of how voters might think. And if he's only got a couple more starts left, albeit big ones, likely at Boston, at Toronto, I'm feeling good about Robbie Ray. And when I look at that schedule with the Yankees, to your earlier point, I'm not feeling so good about where New York is at right now.
Yeah, it's not looking great, right? And the whole Cole thing is really brutal, because I was at the winter meetings when Gerrit Cole was signed and the Yankees fans were losing their mind. This was the one piece they needed, right? 28 rings, here we come. They had the parade. They already had the streets blocked off. They were celebrating in New York. Done deal. Book it. The savior has a, well, guess what? They just booed the savior off the mound. Are you serious? The guy hobbled out there on one leg, bad hammy. Offense has gone to the witness protection program. And this guy says, you know what? I don't care. Give me the ball. If we need somebody to take the ball right now and stop this, give me the ball. Well, seven runs later and a chorus of boos later, that didn't quite work out. But what Gerrit Cole gave you was 104 plus pitches, I believe, on a bad leg, 6 innings worth of bullpen saving effort, so that maybe today, tomorrow, if you got the ability to win a ball game if you can keep it close. They're booing that man off the mound. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious? But hey, but that's the zoo, right? That's the Bronx Zoo. So I don't think it's anything that anybody is taken aback by. But when you just kind of put it in perspective and you think of it, that's why Yankee fans, you know, some of them, not all of them, and it goes for every fan base, but you take them with a grain of salt, because these are the same people who were clamoring for Aaron Boone's job in the month of April, right? And then when they got hot before they rolled into Oakland, those same people that wanted Aaron Boone fired in April were ready to extend Aaron Boone for another decade because the Yankees had won 10, 11 ball games in a row.
It's coming again.
Yankee fans in a nutshell.
That's it. It's coming again, man. If they miss, Boone will be out. The GM will be out. The owners will be snapping. That's the way they operate. And yet we still got a couple weeks to see how the dust settles in the end. Always great to catch up with you, Dallas. Enjoy the stretch run, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care. And hopefully you listened to the last hit I did a few weeks ago, because if you did, you got all over that Robbie Ray Cy Young future that was really favoring the lefties. So congratulations if you got on that bet.
There were a lot of people that supported that. We appreciate it. We'll send you your 10%. Thank you, Dallas.
There you go. We'll see you. Take it easy.
Dallas Braden, former MLB pitcher, NBC's California analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota. Discover your next Toyota hybrid at Maple Toyota. Come see why Maple Toyota is the best place to get yours. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland. He did say that late August, I believe it was, just before you guys were back. He was hammering away at Robbie Ray, because Robbie Ray was getting plus money. You know, it was Gerrit Cole. Lance Lynn was right in the money, you know, right in there in the front of the pack. And now it feels like it's Robbie Ray's award to lose, you know.
Especially if he can go out there tomorrow night, the night or two nights after Gerrit Cole gets booed off the mound, and if he's dialed in and has a performance of a lifetime, it'll do a lot for him.
Oh, that's him. He's on the mound tonight.
Tonight. Yeah. Tonight. Okay. The night after Garrett Cole gets booed off the mound, go ahead and do it tonight.
Huge.
And
at
it's
Tampa
recency
too, right?
Bias too, yes. Right? Voters, you're always it's what you you know
it's
what have you done
close.
For me lately, right?
Yep. It's so. That close. And I think Dallas broke down the Ohtani Vladdy conversation. We keep having it up here. I don't sense they're having it anywhere else in baseball because of what Ohtani's doing is not normal. It's not human. It's not.
Right.
It's like you have to just appreciate it and celebrate it. And I'm fine with that. Like I'm not yelling and screaming as hey, our guys are getting screwed over up here in Toronto or overlooked. People understand and appreciate Vladdy Guerrero Jr.'s season and what he's doing. Ohtani is doing something we've never seen before and likely will never ever see again. So.
Right.
You know, is it valuable? Is it not? Playoff team, not playoff team, arbitrary rules, arbitrary guidelines. But I don't think people should be storming the streets if Vladdy gets quote-unquote overlooked. He's finishing second in a landslide. That's what should be talked about. If right. Ohtani's going to get it, Vladdy better not see one third-place vote. That would be a travesty. That would be a joke. It wouldn't make up for anything because he's not going to win it. But right. It's clear-cut. If Ohtani's going to win it, Vladdy's number two and should be unanimously number two with a couple of first pick scattered throughout the ballots, and I could see that being the case as well.